All right, so let's jump into our training today. And this is a training. Lydia happened to find an article off of every once in a while she puts one on my desk. She says, hey, I think you ought to do a training on this. And I tend to listen to her because she really is so tapped into the field. Obviously, with the Giving Spirit Award, you know how much time she spends with people in the field. And she recognizes some of the struggles out there that I may not recognize as well. So when she gives me advice to do something, I go, okay, sure, I'll take it and run with it. So it's a short little article. I put a lot of fill in it to boost it up because there wasn't a lot of substance necessarily in the article, but the topic is awesome. And it really has to do with, you know, when we go out there prospecting, when we walk into a room of people, when we go to fairs, when we go to, you know, home and garden shows, when whatever we're doing, whatever activity it is, whether we're even going to the grocery store, one of the most important things we want to do is make sure the people that we meet with, we interact with, remember us. Right? I mean, the idea is to build a relationship there so that people acknowledge you, they remember you, they're intrigued by you, there's something there that you've left with them that they want more of you. And if we're not doing that, that can be part of our problem, because then what happens is you get back home and you feel like you're chasing people. Anyone feel that way? Like you're constantly chasing. Wouldn't it be great if people were chasing you? Yeah. You want people to be excited to hear from you, excited to work with you, to hear more about what you do, instead of chasing people. And I think some of the reason why we end up feeling like we're chasing people and people feel that way about us is because we like to go into an environment and we like to blurt out our business opportunity and how we'd like to, you know, I love some of the characteristics I've seen in you. I'd love to partner with you. Are you interested? I mean, we try to give them the whole enchilada in our first interaction. And I'm just going to talk to you today about how in some interactions, I don't give any of the enchilada. They never even find out necessarily what I do unless they ask, right? So, and then sometimes I just turn it right back on them anyway because I'm more interested in finding out about them because I know the number one topic they want to talk about is themselves. And that's true about every human being. People like to talk about themselves. Tremendous amount of self-interest out there, and so if you want to make people happy and you find them in a joyful spirit, ask them questions and, you know, and then play a role in terms of how you could support them in their lives, and that's going to make a huge difference in relationship building. So in this article, they talked about 5 ways to get people to remember you. So let's talk about those and go through each and every one of them, and I've given you some insights and places where you can go to find more information, too. But the first way to have people remember you is identify a commonality. And we talk about this all the time when we talk about going out and meeting people. The number one reason here for me is this. If I don't have any common interest with somebody, can I really view them as somebody that I want as a business partner to work with over the next 3 years and help them get to presidential director status? You follow me? Because you know how much time and energy you're going to put into a person and how much time you're going to spend together, growing together. So do you want to have somebody that's totally opposite to you? I mean, it might be insightful to help you learn and grow, but at this stage, many of us are saying, hey, I have my personal development. I learn and grow over here. Yes, new people will help me learn and grow inherently because they have different backgrounds, but I still want to find people that have common interests. And there's certain commonalities that we want as a matter of course. There are also certain characteristics in a person. We always talk about what are we looking for in a business partner. Well, I had a great experience. Let me share this with you this weekend. When I was working in the Lubbock area, there was a gal that we were at a Barnes & Noble in their little coffee shop area. I was working with a couple of my associates, and a gal overheard us from another table. And she came over, and she started talking to us. Now, by the time she was done and she went on her merry way, my people had secured her information. They invited her to church. They had done all these things. And they did a great job of all that. But when she left, I looked at them, and I said, now let's talk about commonality. Let's talk about characteristics of who you want to be in business with. First of all, the woman was an awful listener. She wouldn't listen to anything. She had to be right about everything. She judged everybody. I don't like my church because these people believe in this, this, and this. And I don't like this person because, and I don't believe in this, and this, and this. And I think this, and she went on, and she just was an incessant talker. And the way she carried herself was like she looked like she just came out from under a rock. And all these and I said, now, if you're going to go out and try to build your Manatech business, is this somebody that you want to spend the next 8 months on trying to just transform them so that they will be heard by anyone? So, so we want to be particular about that, too. When we meet people, we want to make sure that we have the characteristics of what are we looking for in a person that would cause us to believe that they're going to be a great partner with us in our business. But getting back to commonality is finding a common interest in somebody that you want, because here's the number one reason they give is that people trust others with whom they share a bond. So if I'm out there meeting people at the grocery store and I find out that somebody's, a member of my church or a member of a Baptist church or something, or is a Christian, any of those categories, that's a great thing. That's fun for me to talk about because I love that first and foremost. That's one of my favorite topics of discussion. But if I find out they're interested in health, wow, that's a home run ball too, right? If you find out they have kids in college or they have kids who've graduated from college, or you find out that, whatever it might be, they like, doing counseling work, or they like, they want to help the educational system. Whatever it might be that is an interest, a real drive in your life, that's a great thing because now you have a commonality of interest and you share a bond, and all of a sudden, without even knowing you very well, I guarantee you you've already knocked down the barrier and you've started building a trust factor. So connectiveness to me is a must. I mean, this is a connected economy. It's about connecting with people, but commonality of interest is a big piece of that connection. When you find people, so how do you find out if you have a common interest or what the common interest is? You do the major big, number one thing we need to be doing in our life, which is we ask questions. We ask questions because people like to talk about themselves. So as they're talking about themselves, that's where we can find commonality. But it's not like the person says, well, around here, really? Are your family around here? Or whatever it might be in that conversation. And they say, well, my daughter's in swimming. And my kids are, blah, 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 blah. I've seen associates do that, where the minute they find a commonality, they take total control of the conversation and run off like the wild blue yonder. Wrong. You're listening, right? It's called active listening, and I went back to, there are a lot of good books on active listening, but I picked this chart out of the book on natural selling by Michael Oliver, which is one of the books I did a book review, so you'll find it in our Manatrain website under book reviews, Michael Oliver's book on natural selling. But this is a little chart out of his book just to give you an idea of what active listening is about. You want to be, and this is a, very famous. I remember when somebody said, if you want to really, have millions of friends, you don't want to come across as being interesting. You want to be interested. So in other words, in order to be interesting to someone else, you need to be interested in them. Does that make sense? So give up your whole concept of you being interesting because they don't want to hear about all your stuff. You're breaking the ice. You're trying to build a relationship. So be interested in what they have to say. The four rules of active listening is, number one is to be present. How? Stay in the moment. Don't go off on some tangent. Stay in the moment. Appreciate the moment you're in with that person. Have good body language, and if you don't understand body language, look it up and take a little short course on that for yourself. You don't cross your arms, you don't slouch, you maintain eye contact, you smile, you keep a positive attitude. All of these things are about good body language. You make sure that you make hand gestures that are open and welcoming, not closed down. Right? All these things. So learn some of that, because maybe that's a training I should do on one of these Monday calls just to make sure everybody really gets that, because that's a basic core principle, is making sure you have good body language. And give the person undivided attention. In other words, don't be looking around doing five other things, trying to just potentially grab an extra prospect here while you're doing 17 other things. Wrong. They'll understand that they're number 18 on your list. All right? Be acknowledging. How do we be acknowledging? Well, we feed back and summarize what they told. Well, you told me that you really enjoyed doing the, you know, downhill skiing. Could you tell me what are your favorite locations? Because my family does that as well, and I'd like to know where you found your best location. You follow? But notice how I repeated what they told me. I summarize something they've already said, and that's a very honoring. That's a very honoring way. And verbal pauses. So if there's a pause, we don't feel like we have to immediately speak. A lot of us have a very bad habit that silence is bad. I don't know why we think that. It's maybe because we feel like, oh my gosh, have we run out of things to say? I better just start filling in. Or maybe it's like, oh my gosh, this is uncomfortable. So, but the idea is that when people share information, give people a chance, yourself included, to assimilate the information because it's meaningful information. So don't feel like a conversation is only a good conversation if it's constant on and on. And I know some of us women are like, if you ever see a bunch of women that jump around, and I mean, they don't come up for breath. You get it? And the problem with that is that there's no real depth of any thinking going on in that conversation. It's just a lot of data spewed out, right? So you want to think about things. And if you spend a little bit more time thinking before you talk, I had a famous saying that I used to use back in the days. It just came into my head. It was like, think before you stink. Like, how our lives would be different today if every single time we got in a brouhaha with somebody, if we just would have spent an extra 1 minute thinking about it and how we should respond instead of just blurting off and talking out of emotion instead of out of logic. Because typically when we respond quickly to things, it's all about emotion. Our logic hasn't even gotten a chance to set in. It hasn't even got a chance to mill through the information and data and process. So we want to make sure we're processing. Number three is be accepting. In other words, don't come with judgment, prejudice, assumptions, all this stuff. Garbage. Get rid of take, I need to be right, and take that piece of paper and put it in the garbage can. It's not that you need to be wrong. It's the fact that you need to be open to hear. Be a good listener, open to hear. Your righteousness around a topic could end up not to have much foundation in fact, so maybe it'd be a good thing to listen to hear another side to it. Or it may help you see how somebody could have a different perspective, and you don't have to call these people buffoons. Or I think our political world has just devastated. That's where this thing really blows up. I mean, it's crazy. People, they're so condemnational. I can equally love a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a communist, equally, because they're human beings. It's not about the politics. It's not about their specific belief system they have around whether you should have a cat or a dog. We want to be right all the time about stuff, and that impairs us from having a great relationship with people when they're people. We're to love people. God created every one of us, right? So be accepting. That doesn't mean, and understand this, people, I'm not ever suggesting that you sacrifice your values. You can hang on to your values, but we don't have to be so self-righteous about them that we have to promote them at every opportunity and shut people down and cut people off and make other people feel stupid when really perhaps you're not the one that's so bright, right? I mean, it's like, it's really, it's just being open to hear. Don't let what somebody says control your emotional state. You can say, when people say something opposite to something I might believe, and I say, "Wow, that's really interesting. Where did you come to that conclusion?" I pursue it. I'm intrigued by how they came to that conclusion. I'm intrigued by what data they have to support that assertion. And a lot of times they just right away back off. They tell me they heard it on the radio or something. You know what I mean? They don't have any background at all. They just liked it, so they picked up on it, and they're claiming it as truth. So the problem with that is that things that we see in the paper and we see on television, depending on what channel, you can find seven truths on the same topic, and they're totally conflict with each other. You ever notice that? So we're just picking and choosing what we believe to believe. versus really are doing 2 weeks of research to find out which one is truth. And that's the problem with what we do when we take things and we're so judgmental about things. So be accepting. Just listen. Be there to hear. Maybe they'll teach you something. That's what I always look. I always say that God puts people in front of me to help me grow. And so I always try to find out. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. What do they know that's different from what I know and maybe I can learn from? And be curious. Ask questions. Constantly be in the question mode. We're always going to be questioning, asking people questions. But, you know, when you're asking the questions, that goes on to the second part of the outline or second page of the outline. Really talks about not, you know, be careful that you're not phony with your questions. Phony with your questions to be, say, what do you do for a living? Do you have any kids? Where do you live? See, if you just keep a continuous, like, flow of questions that don't even relate to each other, this is phony. You've done a great job of looking at, you know, of memorizing form, family, occupation, recreation, motivation, and areas to ask questions, but you're showing up like you've memorized it instead of really being listening. Because if you're listening to the other person's answers, to your first question, your next question should come forth. It should spring forth like water, right? It'll spring forth from the answer they just gave to your other question. Because then you're showing, that's why repeating some of the things they say is a very effective way of showing how much you're listening. So show intrigue, ask interesting questions, be intrigued. Just like I said, when somebody says something that may be inconsistent with my belief system, I may say, wow, that's really interesting that you say that. Can you tell me where did you come to that conclusion or how did you arrive at that position? You know, so you find, act intrigued and interested. There's not a winner loser in this conversation. There can be if you make it that way, and what happens is you lose. And again, avoid also turning the table and getting caught up with yourself in the conversation. It's so easy to do. I find a trouble with that sometimes because when they raise the issue about something, I say, oh my gosh, I have a perfect example of that in my life. And then I have to go, there I go again. Let's go back to them. I might, and then I try to, when I talk about my perfect example, of course, I don't just cut it off and go ask them another question. I spend the least amount of time as I can on what I've already opened up as a can of worms before I go back to them. When you find a common interest with somebody, then focus on that and have a blast with it. It's joyful. It'll cause joy in you. You both will have a great time talking about something you both like, and that's going to create incredible connection. So, and the bottom line is listening creates value in you and in what you represent. So it doesn't even matter who you are or what you represent. If you're a great listener, people will love you. And that's been shown by study after study they've done. And I think I've shared with you a number of times the study where they put a bunch of psychologists on an airplane in New York, and they said the number one thing you want to do is you're going to sit throughout the plane, don't sit next to each other, and you're going to carry on conversations with the people next to you. But you're going to try desperately if you can avoid it, you won't introduce yourself and you won't talk about yourself. You just want to ask people questions. They got off the plane in L.A. and they interviewed the people that the psychologist sat down next to. And without an exception, these people said, oh, I met the most fascinating person I've talked to in ages. This flight, I mean, it like went by in 5 minutes. This person was awesome. And then they were interviewing him and then they said, so what was his name? And they went, you know what? I never caught his name. Why did the people think that they had the most awesome, they sat next to the most awesome person? Because the person made them feel so good about themselves because they asked all sorts of questions about their lives. They got to talk about themselves in almost an endless stream and share a lot of great happy moments in their lives and things. And they were, it may put them on a high that somebody was that interested in them. And that in their mind made the other person awesome. So understand that whole, you know, exercise that was done, and that'll help you get out there and be more in the questioning mode. Number two, peak there. Okay, so everybody get that. Find the commonality, right? Find the commonality of interest. Stay in that mode with the commonality. Two, pique their interest. Intrigue is the number one reason why they're going to agree to another meeting or phone call or give you their information. You've got to pique their interest because people run fairly mundane lives or very busy lives today. So unless there's something new or different that you pique in your conversation, they're not going to have much interest, right? Because they're busy, quote unquote. I mean, people seem to be so busy they can't, you know, even acknowledge another person in the grocery store line. I see that happen a lot of times when I try to talk to people. I make the attempt and they're just like so shut down because they're just, you know, they're on a mission and they have 25 other missions they got to accomplish before 5 o'clock happens. And they're, you know, it's really, we forget that this world is all about people, not about conquering missions that we're on, right? It's about people. But we want to intrigue them, to give them a reason to meet again. You want to tap into their curiosity or find a reason why they would truly want to know more from you, right? And if you understand the most common questions out there, you need to be totally prepared with answers. So one of the most number one common question is, so what do you do, right? Because you're going to ask that of them. That's part of the formula. F, family, O, occupation. So what do you do? You ask about family, what do you do? Where do you live? Great. How many kids do you have? Super. Do they go to school around here? Yeah, really? Are they in sports as well? Great. Because that's going to be a real big question you're going to be asking with this Jason Lester thing going on, right? But anyway, but so you're going to find out a lot about them, and eventually it gets to, so what do you do? Now, your response needs to be, and we've talked about this numerous times on many calls, but your response needs to be better than, I'm a social entrepreneur, or I own my own business, because that comes across pretty mediocre. Social entrepreneur, people don't know what that is, and a lot of them won't even ask what it is. I own my own, so I prefer not using that language up front because it's an unknown, and if you're going to sit back and if you go, I'm a social entrepreneur, and stop and wait for them to ask you what that is, you're going to wait for a long time with a lot of people, okay? Because remember, they don't know what you're up to. You're up to creating intrigue with them and piquing their interest, but just a word isn't going to necessarily pique their interest. It needs to be, if you tell them, what you do might be much better. If you, instead of saying, I own my own business, you want to be, you know, be more, you know, use a few more words to be more descriptive. And so say, so what do you do? I specialize in providing people with residual income streams so they can truly pursue their life dreams. Now somebody might go, really, what's that about, you know, and you say, and you can, then you can pursue it. But again, you're going to be very limited in what you say on your first meeting with somebody. The idea is just to intrigue them. Let the materials do the rest. When you try to do the rest, I guarantee you can't do as good a job as the materials. A lesson hard learned by Mary Jo, please learn that lesson. Or you can say, well, and there are 100 different ways. I could write up 100 different responses to what do you do, right? In fact, I think I've done that, and I shared it with my organization. I put it out there. But, well, you know how people are having a heck of a time making ends meet with the economy where it is? I create home-based business opportunities for people to have residual income and freedom to follow the tugs on their hearts. I love that, the tugs on their hearts. Because now somebody has something to relate to. They go, yeah, because how many people have a tug on their heart? Somewhere, something's turned you on, and you feel a tug to do that. But you don't have time to do it. You can't do it because you don't have the money, you're too busy, you got jobs, you got the family. But here's a person that helps build people, because it really says they have time freedom. Gives them the freedom to follow the tugs on their hearts. Sounds a lot better than, and provide them time freedom to do whatever they want. That right? Again, if you figure out what that means to you, how you want to say it, because there are 101 ways. I just gave you a couple examples in the outline today. Have an exact way to help them. Health, finances, mission. Be ready that you have something. But again, when I hear somebody talk about, you know, oh, yeah, Mary Jo, hey, nice seeing you again. Da, da, da. I say, how you been? How's your family? And somebody says, oh, my gosh, you know, my daughter just got diagnosed with lupus or something like that. I don't go, oh, my gosh, I have the perfect answer for that, blah, blah, blah. No. Stop it. You're showing zero sensitivity, right? Zero sensitivity. You want to pique their interest and intrigue them. I love to first find out from them, so what do you plan on doing about it? Are you meeting with doctors or what are you doing? Oh, yeah, we tried to do this, and then we went to another guy, a rheumatologist, and they go on and on. And then you can finally say, at the end of the conversation, before you depart, you can say, you know, you mentioned that health problem, whatever that might be, and said, well, I work with a patented breakthrough technology and natural healing that might be an answer you're looking for. I'd love to share it with you. Got it? Now you've piqued their interest, a patented breakthrough technology. Really? What could that be? And if they start asking you, what am I doing? Okay, everybody, on the phone, what do? You say, let the materials do the talking. So I tend to say, well, here, much better than I get into it. Let me send you a couple things, a video or two. Take a peek at it, and then let's get back in touch. How's that? And then I get their information, because now they're intrigued. So now they're more than willing to give me my information, right? And then I, what else do I do? Here's a very important part of the puzzle for many of you. Of course, this is not about remembering. This is just a correct way to do this business. Is you say, when do you think you're going to get an opportunity to watch them? They're very short. And they might say, well, probably tonight. I mean, I really am interested in pursuing this. And I go, great. So why don't you watch them tonight? And if I called you back, let's say 8 o'clock later tonight, would that work for you? Is that a good time for us to touch base? Because I'd like to see what you think about it. And they'll go, yeah, 8 o'clock's great. So you have a specific time appointment on a callback. Never, ever send people anything or suggest you're going to send them something without having an exact pinpointed time when you're going to get back in touch. And somebody, I did this in a training the other day, and somebody said, well, I'm going to be gone. We did role-playing. And he said, well, I'm really heading out of town for a week. And I go, great, so when are you getting back in town? And they go, well, I get back in next Friday. And I said, super, why don't I give you a day to, collect yourself, and how about calling Saturday night? Would that work for you? And they go, well, sure, fine, 8 o'clock, great. So even if they're gone for next week, I still have an exact time and exact date. I don't say, well, listen, I'll give you a call back the week after, and we'll set up a time. Never do I do that, ever. Because if I put an exact time on it right now, guess what's on their calendar? They're focused on, oh, my gosh, I better get that done because I have a deadline. People work out of deadlines today. Do you understand that? And people that don't stay committed to their deadlines probably aren't going to be your best business builder partners. They'll be good consumers for you maybe, but don't keep your eye looking at them as a partner. All right, so pique their interest, have the help ready to do, and also your story. Because another important question that people – and this can pique their interest as well. A lot of times people say, when you talk about what you do, and they say, how did you get into that? Have your story down. Know what that story looks like. Compliant, remember, we stay compliant, but have the story down. And make sure it's an intriguing story. I love to talk about my dad, because anytime I'm talking to a woman, almost every woman, has that same relationship that they love their dad, right? And you're going to do anything in the world to protect them, right? And so that's what happened to me. And Manatech gave me the solution to help my dad. And that was so awesome that there was like nothing stopping me. I felt the Lord, this wasn't a coincidence, the Lord brought me this path for a purpose. And 6 months later, I ended up giving up my entire career to jump on board and help others like you all over the world achieve better health results and build a business, if they so choose, so they can have the freedom to do what they want, and pursue their tugs on their hearts, right? There you go. So anyway, that's what you want to do. You want to make your story, keep it short. Notice how short mine was. You don't have to tell them, well, my dad was diagnosed with, because then it becomes non-compliant, right? So you don't want to tell them all that. You just kind of say, I was going to help my dad, and Manatech gave me the answers, right? Isn't that incredible? I didn't have to tell them the 6-month story or the eight months of taking Ambertose or what. I didn't get into any of that. Short, sweet, to the point. Emphasize them. Focus on them, and not on you giving an hour lecture about your life. Okay, 3, develop a signature style. This is important. Who are you? What makes you special? When you're meeting somebody for the first time, what do they always tell you and what's absolutely true? The first impression is critical. You get about 5 seconds on that first impression where people have made conclusions about you. So your presentation, what do you look like? What are you wearing? What do you dress like? This is really funny. It's a great thing to talk about today because, when I got involved in this Todd Falcone accountability prospecting course, which I'm still in the midst of, all of a sudden I looked at Lydia on day one and I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to take a shower sometime during the day. Because a lot of times we go work out in the morning and I might not take a shower till 5 o'clock, maybe on my way over to Manatech or something. But now that I'm in the prospecting mode, I've got to get home from working out, take a shower, dress up in nice clothes, fix my hair, and be ready to be on the go. That's what you need to do. Dress for success. Be ready to go. Be well-kempt. Don't be unkempt because people are going to right away make judgment calls about you. Take care of that because you want to leave a great first impression. So, and I love the concept of choose to look like a friendly and attractive person. Even if you have some trouble with friendly and attractive for yourself, work on that. And I'm not talking about people aren't as attractive. You don't have to look like a movie star, by George. I have no shot in this world if that's the, you know, characteristic we need to achieve. The idea is just look the best you can in terms of take care of your appearance so that you look well-kept. Try to go out and sell youth when you don't take care of yourself? Pshaw, big problem. So be open, natural, friendly, outgoing, and clean. Those are just some suggestions for everybody. Four, ask a lot of questions. We kind of already reviewed this when we talked about the first one about finding a commonality. Well, not just do we ask questions to find a commonality, we just continue to ask a lot of questions because people love to talk about themselves. And, you know, focusing on others is really a mainstay in our business. That's really what we're about, is focusing on helping other people. I think it's a mainstay in our faith as well. We focus on others. I also think it's a great way to get off of Prozac and antidepressants, is when we quit focusing on ourselves and focus on others. There's more joy you'll get in life out of focusing on others and helping others than even helping yourself. That's all the joy comes from what we give. I love that quote by Winston Churchill. He says, we make a life by what we get. We become who we are by what we give, something to that extent. I mean, it's just an awesome, it's not about what we get, it's about what we give, right? And look up that great quote. In fact, I even had one of my members of my organization, I reviewed a letter that he had written to send out to a bunch of associates for reactivation purposes. And I said, why don't you use the Winston Churchill quote at the bottom of it? Because he spent so much time talking about M5M and these starving kids. So he did that, which is great, because it's just another way to touch people's lives, to think about our life is not about what we get, it's about what we give. Discovery allows you to contribute in lives, of course, by getting more questions. You're going to have more knowledge of them, more ability to, you know, follow up with a personal email, touch base with their heart, touch them where it counts, where it matters, you know, what makes a difference in their life, what really is, you know, true to them. I mean, when I do follow-up emails, that's why I have a hard time with autoresponder systems, because I get so much information about the person and I want to make a real personal reply to them. I want them to understand I really care about them. So that means I need a really personal approach with each person. And that I can't do through an autoresponder. So anyway, so it's a discovery so we understand how we can contribute in our lives more and again, be in connection with them in more ways. Make sure the questions are thoughtful and interesting. So I said, where's your list? Sometimes we need to write down a list of what those questions look like just so we're prepared, because some of us aren't good at asking questions. Some of us who went to law school probably got a little better, but mine was more of an interrogation than it was, you know, a social question. So I had to make a shift as well. So don't think I'm any better trained than you are. I had to totally retrain myself. So we all come from different backgrounds with different experiences. But, you know, doing networking is a different kind of business. You don't want to just say, well, I'll be great at this because I did this. Wrong. Trust me, I had to go through a total transformation myself. So each one of us need to look at that and say, am I telling myself I'm going to be great at something and I don't even train myself? You know, that's the idea. This is a profession. So train yourself in the tools and the skills that are necessary to be the best you can be, and you'll be very effective at it. If you assume you're there already, I'm going to suggest that's, you know, what assumptions make you, right? Yeah. Anyway, next, five, find a reason to follow up. Always in every one of your connections with people. You know, if you have a reason to follow up, that's going to make people interested, right? And that's going to cause them to remember you. So if you share the romantic experience, you'll get the chance. You know, when you talk about, like I said, when you make a statement about, you know what, I work with this breakthrough, you know, scientific technology or breakthrough real food nutritional technology that might be an answer for you. If you're interested, I'd love to share it with you. And they'll go, yeah, of course I'm interested. You know, what mom isn't interested in helping their kids or whatever? Yeah, well, can I send you a few things to look at? I'm always looking for new partners, but especially looking for people like you who have common interests. Well, I wouldn't say that to somebody who had a health concern, because I don't usually – my strategy is this. When I work with somebody with a health concern and that's their leading concern, I tend to focus virtually exclusively on products as I start them off. I will open the opportunity if they want to share with others after they see some great results in their own family life. They may want to look at this seriously as a business. And if they want to position themselves up front with that, they could buy the All-Star Pack getting involved right up front. If not, let's just start on the products and we'll look at the business opportunity down the road. But let's just, you know, our focus right now is going to be on helping them have better health results. So so this would be something that if I was talking to somebody and they said, wow, I'd love to live my dreams, you know, and I'd, and my first question would be, what are those dreams? What did you ever see? When you were a little kid, what did you see of your life when you were at this stage of your life? What did you believe? What did you believe your life would be like? That's an interesting question, isn't it? It sometimes causes people to get depressed. But I don't mind. I say, I tend to lead into the fact that I said, keep it joyful. I mean, this is fun. We're just playing with where did we think we'd be? And I said, great, so why can't you still be there? That's my next statement. We make up all these excuses why we can't have what we want when it's right there at our fingertips. And that's what I like to share with people. And then they say, well, yeah, if you have something that's going to be great. And I said, can I send you a few things to look at? I'm always looking for new partners, but especially looking for people like you with whom I have common interests, right? That's a great thing to say to somebody. They feel important. They feel like you're jiving. You're already building that mesh that's going to make that business work for both of you. And then see if there's something here that can cause the two of you to reconnect. If it's around Manatech, let's say it's not Manatech. Let's say Manatech never gets in the conversation, because that happens a lot for me as well. If there's not an opportunity for me to introduce it, I don't introduce it. But I always try to find that commonality of interest. So like if somebody loves art and I find out and I say, oh, my mother's an artist, and I could talk about that a little bit and then get back to them and talk about what kind of art they like and what caused them to be interested in it. And I say, well, you know what, I was just reading in the paper the other day, there's an art fair coming up on Saturday at the convention center in Irving. Are you interested in going? I mean, I'd love to reconnect with you. We could go there together, or I could meet up with you at the art fair. You follow? So you'd find something that's a common interest and then cause it to bring the next connection with it. Or if somebody, you know, is reading books or they have some interest like that, you go, oh, I love that. Have you ever read the book? Have you ever done that with somebody? Have you ever read the book to such and such? And they go, no, I don't think so. Great. I'd love to drop it in the mail to you. If you're interested in reading it, I'd be more than happy to do that. And now you have a friendship, a blossoming friendship. Or if it's just basically a reconnect. You know, I have so enjoyed this conversation. We got to talk about how we're fighting GMOs and all this kind of stuff. I'd love to reconnect sometime. How about you want to do lunch next week? Do you have any free day for lunch? Then I can bring some of the things that I talked about, or we could share some more, or whatever, right? But it's all about keeping in contact. But you want to make sure that you have that commonality of interest. That's the number one key point to walk away from today's call is commonality of interest, you know, and asking questions, being true to yourself when you're working with people, being a great listener. And you guys, this is just have fun. You know, when we get out there and we're nervous about it, that's what hurts us, because then we become somebody we're not. You want to just go with the flow, be loving and caring with people, and that's why I tell people, I said, you can never make a mistake. And there's millions of people out there. So if you feel like you're doing it in an awkward way and these things don't apply for you today, I'm going to suggest step into it and go out and experiment. Over the next week, talk to 50 people and come from that position and see what changes for you in your Manatech business. Okay, everybody, that's all I have for today. Any last-minute questions or comments, anything?
Mary Jo, this is Joni from Arizona.
Hi, Joni from Arizona. How are you?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
One is on the 7 Habits. I know you're really involved in that. The book was great. Do you know if they have materials for elementary school, junior high?
Are you talking about 7 Habits of the you're talking about not 7 Mindsets.
I'm sorry, the 7 Mindsets.
Yeah, 7 Mindsets. Did you go look at their website and see what's going on there? I know they have a huge movement going on where they're getting into public schools, which is awesome, where they're teaching this in grade schools and stuff. So double check on their website, and you know what else? Send me an email and I'll get you in touch with the right people, okay?
Okay, yeah. And then the other thing, is there any way that we that are not in your downline are going to be able to use your presentation? Because the one that's on the archive thing is just impossible with that video.
What video?
The video, you know, during your presentation.
The connector video?
sitting in the desk and, you know, connectivity and stuff like that.
Oh, did you know we retaped it and we put it back out there? It's been reposted.
Okay, well, I'll look at it and see.
Look at it again. Lydia, actually, they sent it to us because no one inside corporate, either didn't have the time or weren't willing to. And I said, you know, this has to be done right, otherwise no one can use it. So Lydia actually redid it. And it's been reposted. I think it got reposted like mid last week. So go take a peek at it. It should be perfect for you. Okay?
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, you bet. You bet.
This is
Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, I have a question for you. You mentioned the words patented breakthrough, something like food technology.
Breakthrough technology. I think I put it in the outline, too. It says
the natural healing. So that's okay to put the word healing in there?
That's an intriguing question. Patented breakthrough. I don't have any problem with it. I don't have any. I mean, we're not. I guess we probably stay away from that. I mean, we don't represent it heals disease conditions, but natural nutritional supplements, when you talk about glycobiology and the impact of countervailing deficiencies in the body, there's going to be the body naturally heals itself. So you can talk about natural healing as the body's healing capacity itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You get it?
Okay.
So I'm not saying the products heal. I'm saying the body heals.
Right. I'm just trying to be compliant, you know.
I totally agree with you. Just stay away from disease conditions. But if you talk about patented breakthrough technology in natural healing, it's about, hey, anyone that's doing, when you go to a nutrition shop, they're all about natural healing, right? They're not representing the heal, cure, mitigate, anything, but it's about how do I support the human body to do what the human body does best. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
Good. There you go. Yeah.
Mary Jo?
Yes.
This is Carol from Portland.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Do you have a list of your favorite videos that you send out depending on what their interest is?
Absolutely. I have a master list. And here's what we do for my organization. I'll just give you guys some hints, and maybe you can look at it for your own organization as well. But a couple of years back when I started doing a lot of prospecting again, I just kind of jumped back into it. I found myself trying to find things to send, and there were like 100 different websites. Does anyone else out there feel that same way? Do I grab it from Navigate? Do I go in the library? Do I go on Manifest Science? Do I go over here and Giving Changes Everything? I mean, it was like it was a nightmare to me. And it would take me 20 minutes just to find the attachments that I wanted. But there were a few that I liked, so I got in a habit of a few. But the problem was that I finally went in to the library one day and I sent an email with a Chinese description of Amritos. And that was the end of the end for me. I clicked on the wrong one and, you know, they have four different languages or something. And I said, Lydia, we can't do this anymore. So what we did is I said, there's got to be a way I can set up just a place where I can just go and find everything I want to attach. And so I set up a document file. Each one of you can do this individually. A document file, okay, a folder file entitled Email Attachments. And then I have three subfiles in it. One is titled Mission, one's titled Product, and one's titled Business. And when I click on any one of those, it gives me an entire list of all the documents that I would attach in alphabetical order, but the top line on each of them is a one page of all of the videos I use. So I can just go in there and I can copy paste the link and put it at the bottom of an email. When I take it off the link, it's called my links page. So the first line item for in the products page is going to be my links page for, and it's all indexed by different categories. And then I just take the link off there and pop it into my email. Does that make sense? And then the rest of them I just can paperclip. I just use the paperclip system to paperclip a tear sheet on the bottom of an email. So today when I do prospecting, it takes me 5 minutes to get an email done, and I spend all my time in the relationship part, and it takes me about less than 1 minute to do the attachments because I know exactly where they are. I just pick them off the chart, attach them, and then copy-paste the link and put it on because they're all in one location. Cool, huh? You guys like that?
Very cool. Do you share that?
You know what? I share it with my downline. I can share with you. I guess Liddy could probably. take a picture of it. No, I'm talking about take a picture of it, and I could make that available to you so you could build it yourself, and I could send out a copy of my links list. I don't have a problem with that. Oh,
so,
we can't do the
so do I email Lydia about that?
Yeah. Do we what? I'm sorry?
Would I email Lydia to get that?
Sure. If you want to do that, that's fine. She'll give you the list, and you can build it for yourself. The other thing that I did, I don't know, you know, if you have a big organization like I do, we set up a Google Drive. And if you understand Google Drive, maybe you don't. But anyway, because I said once I built it for myself, I said, does every one of my associates have to build the same thing? How do I share this? Well, through Google Drive, every single one of my associates in my business now has exactly the same access. They didn't have to build anything. They just could tap into what I had. Isn't that cool? So just, I mean, it's just, I wanted to do whatever it takes to help people do prospecting. And we're the only ones that get to amend those folder files. So no one in my downline can go in there and take things out and put things in. We, as new things come out, we add them and we notify people on things that we're adding that are just, we think are terrific to share with people. Just like the Jason Lester thing, we'll probably have a Jason Lester separate folder file just for Jason Lester. Okay? All right, but great. Make it efficient like that, and it makes it easier to share. Oh, okay, guys, I got an 11:30 appointment I got to run to, so I'm going to have to cut it off. I've got some people to sign up. Woo-hoo! So anyway, keep up the great work, you guys. Love you all, and don't forget tomorrow night. Do not miss Jason Lester tomorrow night. It will be a blessing to all of you, and I can't wait to share with you all the ideas that are just oozing out of every pore in my body. So I might need a whole hour just for my part. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, just get your notepad ready to take notes on all that because you'll love all the ideas. All right, love you guys. Have a great week and talk to you soon. Bye.